All standby passengers, see me at the podium for your seat assignment.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel and things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Monique.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Laura.
This week we're at Dorkfest again.
Yay!
So we're still in LA.
Yeah, this is our second show from LA, so we're excited to be here and do this. We're going to have our friend Steve on with us. So we wanted to have Steve on a while ago, and because Laura had overnight, but ended up not being close, and Steve had jury duty for a big...
Oh, you had jury duty.
Yeah, I had jury duty.
Good excuse.
And I had to go in, too.
Oh. Did you get selected?
No, they ultimately excused us, but we all had to go in for 3 full days.
No way.
Yeah, just to wait around.
Whoa.
So anyway.
$12 a day.
I've always wanted to do jury duty.
It's actually not bad because you actually understand how the process works. And I'm a television executive, so I've done a couple of legal shows and I never really understood how the process worked. And so it was kind of cool to see it once.
For your 3 days and then you were done.
But when we're talking to you, you were saying I could... Maybe free, or maybe not free for weeks. Like you were, it was so up in the air. So why don't you tell us about yourself a little bit? You don't work for an airline, but you have a passion for aviation and travel.
Yeah, I love aviation. I actually have thought about this when I actually started developing my passion. And I remember as a little kid, I grew up in Northern California, and there was an airline called PSA. We used to fly out of San Jose, and you used to have to walk on the tarmac up jet stairs to get to the plane. And it was like the old Southwest days where you had to scramble to get the best seat. And I was always the kid who scrambled to get the best seat for the family. And I just remember loving PSA. I loved Air California, then Air Cal. So I've always liked planes. I knew which airline served Coke or which airline served Pepsi. So I was kind of directing my family, let's go with the Coke airline. And then we flew to visit my family's in Arkansas. My mother was born and raised in Arkansas. I was born and raised in California, but we would go to Arkansas every Christmas, sometimes for the summer too. And we would always fly through Dallas, and I would always get to fly bigger planes as a result. And I loved it. So I knew like which planes had there were these air tubes that you used to plug in to listen to radio and listen.
Oh, I do remember those. I'll admit it. I remember those.
Yeah, right. And then back in the day, you used to get little sandwiches and little airplane meals, and you get these cool airline wings. And so I just loved it. And I actually, back then, when you really shouldn't be doing this, I directed my mother on how to route us back home so I could fly on a DC-10. So
very cool.
And I think it was about 7 or 8 at the time. So
yeah.
That's adorable.
You're an F geek.
I'm a dork.
You qualify.
We met you, it's been over a year now, because when we went to Anchorage, that was our first time. I think I followed you and before then, but when we went up there with Neck Trip, and then you came up and did the milk run. So that was a lot of fun to finally get to meet you. And then last year at Dorkfest, we got to meet again.
Absolutely. And then we've been on social media. We love social media for connecting us. Aviation geeks all together, but it's really been fun. I'm not in the business. I'm a television executive by trade, but I love to travel. I love to fly. Sometimes I'll just fly for the heck of it. Hence my handle, Mileage Runner. And I'm not stopping. You know, there are always places to go. I've had some incredible trips as a Mileage Runner, where sometimes I'll just, like I took my husband to dinner in Rome.
Oh.
We actually flew out. Laura will understand this.
Yeah.
Flew out on the Friday night flight to London. We connected in London to Rome. Got into Rome at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. We took a car into the city. We dropped our bags and we changed and we had dinner in Rome. And then after dinner, we walked through Rome. We walked past the Trevi Fountain. We passed the Pantheon. It was one of the most romantic nights ever. And then I had a car pick us up the next morning to take us back to the airport. And you'll really love this. We had the same flight attendants from LA to London as we did from London to LA. So they all knew what we were doing and they all wanted to know how the date went.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. And then I've had other crazy mileage runs where right before the pandemic, a group of seven of us decided that we all wanted to see Dubai, but nobody actually really wanted to stay for a long time. So I arranged a trip for us to go to Dubai for 17 hours. Oh. And I hired a car to take us everywhere in Dubai. So I think we did more in the 17 hours that we were there than people who spend a week there do. But we did everything. I mean, everybody told me what they wanted to do. I got the whole list together. I kind of plotted this out with our tour guide and our driver, and we did it all.
How long is the flight?
We connected through London.
Okay. So
LA to London is about 10 hours. London to Dubai is about 7 or 8.
So you were there shorter than your actual flight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were flying much more than we were actually there, yes. Which is usually the case when you're mileage running.
Oh. Okay, so we probably should explain what mileage running is.
Yeah, so what is the definition? Because we travel, but we don't collect miles. We're not,
yes. As non-refs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so mileage running actually started when the airlines gave you loyalty or awarded loyalty when you flew a certain number of miles.
Yeah.
So you fly 100,000 miles, you become an executive platinum. Well, things have changed dramatically in the last couple of years where there's a new system to qualify for loyalty. It's loyalty points. So we are now, it's not just about flying a certain number of miles. It's about spending money on the airline. Yeah. It's about spending money on a credit card. But we still call it mileage running, even though we're actually point running now. So I figured out little workarounds so that I don't have to spend as much money as the airline would like me to. And that still involves a little bit of mileage running. So mileage running is flying just somewhere to earn a lot of miles and then come back and qualify for loyalty. And you know, you can qualify for lower levels of loyalty like gold or platinum or 1K. But if you really want the high level stuff, you got to do international runs. And so I work during the week. I really only have weekends to play. So I will literally leave on a Friday night, go somewhere, spend a couple of hours somewhere, and then come right back. And sometimes I never leave the airport.
It sounds very familiar.
Yes. Yes, we are kindred spirits in that way.
That's just great.
I have one coming up to Warsaw. So I'm going to go from LA to London. London to Warsaw. I'm actually, a friend of mine is going to go with me. We've got an overnight in Warsaw. So Warsaw happens to have an airport hotel. So we're going to stay at the airport hotel. But if we get in early enough, we're going to take a taxi into Warsaw at night and just drive around and see what we can see and then come back. So wow. That's a little crazy.
That is a crazy trip. I like it though.
Yeah.
I like that.
Are things easing up? Because during COVID, that must have been so hard because you had to plant all those other restrictions in.
Oh yeah, the paperwork, the restrictions, it was insane. Europe has opened up, there are no restrictions, you know, no vaccination requirements. It's all much, much easier, but some places like Asia are still not open to us. Now, I used to do mileage runs to Hong Kong or Singapore. We did Singapore for 4 hours.
Wow.
We did high tea once in Hong Kong. There were 5 of us who did that. So it can be a lot of fun. I mean, why not?
My guess is you're not sitting in the back.
No, not usually. I have sat in the back on these long flights. I don't love it, but I can do it. Every once in a while you do it just to remember why you want to sit in the back.
Just to really appreciate that, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, when you acquire status as an elite flyer with your airlines, they tend to treat you really nicely. So,
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because you are an EP on our airline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And my husband's an EP too. And I've got a group of friends, I think 8 or 9 of us who are all EPs. And we all kind of talk about the best deals. We talk about mileage runs. We talk about how to earn the most miles on our vacations. So we're all in there.
All about that.
Absolutely.
So I have a quick question. So when you take your husband just to Olive Garden on a date, is he pretty disappointed?
Oh,
then?
Forget it. That would be the worst. What about that meal in Rome? Okay. Guess I got to step out. I think the next one might be dinner in Athens.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds romantic.
With a view of the Acropolis. Yeah, that could be fun.
Okay, so Steve, we were looking forward to you telling us your thoughts on Boom.
Boom is the first independently developed supersonic jet, SSD, just like the Concorde. The first name of the aircraft is going to be called the Overture. American Airlines, United Airlines, Japan Airlines, and the United States Air Force have pre-orders for Boom, 130 to be exact. They expect to see this aircraft flying in 2026.
Well, initially, great. It'd be exciting. Then I thought about it, like, where are we going to fly to? I think they don't have an engine yet, so I don't know if the plane's going to be ready. So that's a problem. And there's also limited range, so I don't know how far you can actually fly. And, you know, when you're up front on the airline, you're in a nice pod, they're serving you food, and you're having a good time, you want to get a little sleep. I don't know if I want to get there that fast.
You're right, because it would change the whole experience.
Yeah. You know, 3 hours to Europe, it's not enough to enjoy the whole experience.
Well, that's what we thought as flight attendants. We were all in the back talking about Boom going, how can we do service in 3 hours?
I can't imagine. You know,
can you even drink and sober up enough?
Well, that's what United came out with it. And I think I was like, this is a joke. And then Americans did. So I was like, maybe this is going to be a real thing for the airlines. And then recently we were in Seattle. And so we walked through the Concorde. I'd never been inside one. Did you ever fly one?
I didn't, no.
And just since I said it's like a CRJ extended,
mm-hmm.
It's really tight in there. And I from your pictures and stuff, you love the pods like us.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, would you enjoy us? So I wanted your opinion, because someone that would actually, you would be a customer that they would be wanting to build this for airlines. So I was curious about.
Yeah, I think there are times when I would use it for business. I'm not sure I'd ever use it for leisure travel. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me because it doesn't fly far enough. Now, if it were going from LA to London, yeah, but practically speaking, you can't fly supersonically over land. So they can't fly you supersonically for half of the distance. So I'm like, oh, well, you're still going to have to stop in New York. So it's still going to take time.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to pay the extra money for that? Likely not.
It'd be interesting to see if it ends up working, and then if it does.
Well, I'm sure they're going to try to find some way to make it work, but as long as they can't fly over land, I don't see how it works.
Yeah, it's going to be limited to where they can go.
Yeah.
So do you have a destination that everyone should go to? You're not in Nara, but you've been all over the world. I know you've just tons of places. So where's somewhere that maybe you've been to, maybe not everyone is so known about it, so we should all go?
There's several destinations I think people should definitely check out. My favorite destination that's not on everybody's radar, but I loved it, was Morocco. I mean, I think Morocco is one of the most underrated food countries in the world. I mean, the food there is just amazing. The sights are amazing. The life is amazing. It's a different world, yet it's still very accessible because they speak French, they speak English there. So it's very easy for us Americans to get around. I think Jordan is another place that's on my bucket list. I think I'm going to go in the next year or two. I would love to do that. And this is kind of a cliche, but I've been there now twice. I love the Maldives. It's not for everybody. It is a getaway. It is a place where you literally don't want to think about anything because these hotels are on an island. Everything is self-contained. So you eat on the island. You get entertained on the island. You literally maybe choose what beach you're going to lie out on. And that's the extent of the brain power that you exert there. If that's the kind of getaway you want, I would definitely recommend the Maldives.
You just did the Maldives, correct?
I did, yes.
And that's not a mileage on, because those trips were like extended, right?
Yes, those were the first time we went was for 10 days. The second time was for 2 weeks. Oh, and we actually redeemed miles with American Airlines to get Q suites on Qatar Airways, which was definitely on my bucket list. And for those of you guys who don't know, the Q suites are kind of the step between business class and first class. Qatar flies them, puts them on their planes, especially their really, really long distance planes. And in the middle section, you know, people can usually sit together in the middle section, but they've got a barrier that you can put down, and the middle section becomes like a double suite. So you remember the movie Crazy Rich Asians when they're flying?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what you get. So it's when you're both reclining, you've got like a double bed. It's you could watch the same movie together. You can hold hands. You can talk. It's really nice for people traveling together.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
And the lounge in Doha, part of what I do as a mileage runner is I also love to visit lounges. I've loved the lounges in Asia. I love some of the European lounges. But the lounge in Doha is definitely bucket list. And you can only get it by flying on Qatar Airways. You can't fly American or another one world carrier to get access to it. You have to fly Qatar. It's open 24 hours. There is a sleeping area if you get there in the middle of the night. There are two restaurants that you can order from. The one restaurant has an all-you-can-eat sushi bar, which I ate a lot from. They also have an all-you-can-eat mezza bar, an all-you-can-eat dessert bar. They've got bars all over the place. They've got showers. They've got sleeping rooms. I mean, it's ridiculous. So this is an instance where you want to build in the longest layover you possibly can.
Do enjoy it there.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Sounds like heaven.
You have no idea.
That's a good tip. That's a good tip.
And build in that long layover. Really enjoy it. Yeah,
absolutely. Because for me, the journey is as exciting as the destination, obviously, because I'm a mileage runner. And we are lounge lizards. We love lounges. And now I've been to lounges all over the world, and I've got a rating system. And that one is definitely up there. And the pier in Hong Kong, I hope Cathay Pacific comes back, but that is an amazing, amazing lounge. It feels like you're in the Four Seasons, and everybody is so lovely, and everything is so beautiful, and everything is so tasty. It's just, you can totally relax, and it feels like you're on vacation before you start your flight.
Is that one of the places that you're kind of missing with COVID, the Hong Kong? And
yeah, pretty much Southeast Asia. I think we're going to try to get to Singapore again, because it's one of our favorite weekend destination. If we have a long weekend, we'd love to go for a couple of days there. And that's kind of all you need in Singapore is a couple of days. But yeah, we're definitely missing Hong Kong. We just hope Cathay Pacific survives, because it is a great airline, and it's a great group of people, and it's an incredible lounge.
Again, the lounge.
Yeah.
It's all about the lounge. Yeah. So we went to South Africa this year, and for some reason, when I booked this flight, the business class flight was $1,000 less than the first class flight. So I said, for an extra $1,000, I could fly us in first class to South Africa. So I did. I booked the first class flight. So I got to go to the British Airways Concorde room, which is not just their first class lounge, but it's their first class lounge where people are actually flying first class. It's not just for like status people. And it was everything it was cracked up to be. I mean, they served us immediately. It was classic British service with a butler. They actually wanted to know if we wanted our shoe shine. We only had like 30 minutes in there. And like, I just want to get something to eat really quickly and go. And we got to go to the British Airways Concorde room in Heathrow. And it's a nice lounge. I think the Cathay Pacific lounges are actually a little bit nicer, but it's just really exclusive. It's out of Heathrow. Heathrow can be really, really crowded. And the one thing I love about a lounge is that you can relax. You can get away from the crowd, especially in this COVID time. You know, you just want to be a little bit safer. And it is lovely.
Well, that sounds great.
So what are you doing for honeymoon? Are you going to do, which one are you picking?
Maldives. It's definitely been on one of my lists. Yeah.
So one of the interesting thing about the Maldives is the islands are all little tiny outcroppings at the lip of a volcano. So you see this when you're flying over, you see all these round circles in the water. It's the lip of the volcano, and there's all the islands that are on the lip. And so when you swim out, you've got like a little bit of coral, and then about 50 feet out, the sea just drops like that.
Jeez.
Like it's infinite blue. You cannot see the bottom when you fly. I think you could swim like 60 or 70 feet out and you won't be able to see the bottom. It's the coolest, scariest, freaky thing in the world. But it's fantastic because you see all this sea life, and the seafood is amazing there if you like it.
All right. So after all of this positivity, you've flown enough. Do you have any pet peeves of gate agents or flight attendants or crew members or...
We want to hear your pet peeves.
Okay. My pet peeves are primarily with passengers.
Okay. Great. I'm here for it.
I'm sure you like this. It's the do you know who I am kind of passengers. And like, yeah, we know who you are. Do you know who I am? Do we care? Do you know who you think you are? They're the ones who are really bugging me. So the people who like jam up to the front of the gate to board the plane before they really should be boarding. The people who take off their shoes before takeoff and then put their feet up so they're right next to me. And I'm like, get away. Please, please get away. I think the flight attendants who don't look you in the eye, that's another thing, who just kind of throw things at you. I haven't noticed that as much on U.S. carriers or Asian carriers, but on the European flights, I've noticed that a lot. There's some surly, surly European flight attendants. And I know you guys are tired of policing masks and policing what people are doing, but people just are stupid on planes. You know, they just don't follow any rules whatsoever, and they think they're so entitled. So that's a passenger thing and a flight attendant thing. It's like sometimes you wish the flight attendant were just like, please please adhere to the rules, or please make people enforce the rules.
Yeah, make them.
Make them. And I think a lot of people act really badly when they're traveling, especially at airports. It's like they can suddenly be really mean, really angry. It's a privilege to fly, and I love that we get the opportunity to do so. And it's not easy for anybody, and nobody is wanting you to have a bad flight. So just kind of don't have a bad attitude. Kind of just chill out. And so I think that kind of goes for a lot of jaded airline employees. I mean, Monique, you are probably the front line with a lot of very entitled people, and you're just trying to get the plane out of there. So I feel for you. But I have had some surly gate agents who just won't even give you the time of day.
Well, I was just thinking, so one of my big things recently is like the boarding process. Like, it just drives me nuts. Yeah, when they just all crowd up, or they all just kind of try to board early. It's just like, just take your time. Like, when I call you up, I'm more than happy to have you come up. But like, we called for our concierge key. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't have anyone, but we just call it because what if I do have one that pops up? Anyway, and this guy came and scanned, and as it popped up on my screen, I can see what his status was, and he was a platinum. And I was like, he's not even like, but of course it's like, welcome aboard, sir. But it's just kind of like, oh boy, like,
yeah.
Of course, he just thinks he's important enough that he can board whenever he wants.
But yeah, it's just like, also the people who change seats without really needing to, or without telling anybody, you know, they self-upgrade.
Self-upgraders, yeah.
I'm sure you get that a lot. And the people who just have to get off the plane first. It's like, we're all going to get off the plane. Yeah. We all have connections to make. We're all going to get off fine. Just chill. Just chill. Yes.
Today, when we landed, I was pretending to run up the aisle.
Yeah. Because she stood up and I go, Laura, run.
This lady goes, oh, are you in a hurry to me?
Because passengers are crazy.
He was nice on you guys. I think it's hard to take pet peeves when he's looking you in the eye.
Oh,
my pet peeves really are with passengers more than they are with the employees. Because I get it. You guys are, this is not me sucking up to you. You guys really have been the front line, and it's really tough. I get it. But these passengers are like, really? And the people who bring like five carry-ons on board, like, where the heck are you going to put them? Pay for a baggage fee already.
Get the credit card and then you don't have to.
Right.
That's what's nice for me is I don't have to, other than when I'm flying with them, I don't have to deal with customers. I don't think I could do that. That'd be hard.
And it's not just economy class. It's even worse, I think, in first and business class, because they're really entitled when they think that they're somebody.
Well, and I would say like working with our elite members is either like one way or the other. Like they either know their stuff and they're right, like their bags are exactly right size. They know exactly the protocol. They stand back. They board right on time. They're very polite. Or they're super entitled and they have that bag super extended. And they, I fly this 2 times or whatever.
It's like, you and I saw that this morning.
Yeah. And
that
it's like,
had a meltdown.
Well, then you know if you fly this every day, then you know your bag is too big.
Kind of thing. Yeah, but try to tell them that and they will not hear
oh,
it.
Oh, it's, yeah, they get infuriated. But it's like, but if you know this, then why are you fighting it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it goes either way, I feel like, with our elite members.
Yeah. We liked serving our elite members because you guys are just so mellow. Because you know what we have and you know what you want. And when we get to you, you're like, this is all I want.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I actually don't mind flying in economy as an executive platinum because I know I'm going to be treated a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. So, the seat may not be that comfortable, but, you know, if it's for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, it's like fine. It's fine because the service is always very nice.
I try. Sometimes I put the Woodford in a coffee cup during COVID. Oh, I'm sorry. You need a little sip of water. Here's some water for you. I did that for my EPs. I do.
My husband would love you for that. He makes me, when you do the pre-departure beverages, he always makes me get an extra glass of champagne because I don't drink, so that he can have his, he can have mine.
He's smart.
They're pretty in their little pretty glasses.
But they're little.
They are little.
Yeah. It's like a shot and then he's done. Like, all right, next one.
So do you guys remember, maybe not for you guys. So when I was hired during our hiring class, they said, do not say you work for the airlines when you're flying because people don't like hearing that you're flying for free. When they're paying whatever, buddy. So does it bother you if you knew the non-nervous sitting right next to you, as long as they're behaved?
It doesn't bother me unless they get the upgrade that I think I should have got.
Oh, yeah.
That would have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should get it before the non-revs.
I have, usually, but there have been cases where I haven't.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. not, it wasn't a big deal, but still, yeah. I'm like, I don't always understand your upgrade policies. I see the check marks and they're not necessarily in chronological order. Somebody like number 7 has gotten it. I'm like, okay, maybe there are a lot of couples who, there's only one upgrade available and couples say no.
Decline.
Yeah. But sometimes it's a little weird. I'm always trying to figure it out. Frankly, I probably was one of those guys who got a really, really cheap fare some way, and the guy next to me might have been paying like $1,000 more for the same seat. So I kind of relate to it. I get, so that's why I'm happy when people are flying. I really don't care. It's a non-rev.
That's what I had to remind my wife, not recently, but when we first married, like, do not talk about it, because she likes to talk about everything. And, oh, my husband worked here. No.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will get really pissed off. I was on a flight to Ireland once, and this was one of my earliest mileage runs, and it was $259 round trip from LA.
Wow. What?
And I used my system-wide upgrades to upgrade to business class all the way through, and the guy next to me had paid something like $7,000 for his flight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because he asked me how much I paid for my flight.
Oh, no.
I didn't pay that much. I didn't tell him the number because I knew he would be furious. Because he was furious enough paying $7,000.
You're so nice not to rub it in.
You'd think he'd be saying, well, teach me whatever you're doing. Teach me. That's what you should be saying.
I get a lot of that. I do get a lot of that. Teach me how to fly for the price you're paying for.
Yeah. That's a little difference there. Yeah.
Seriously.
Steve, do you have any questions for us?
I do have a couple of questions for you guys. So I'm going to start with Tyler. Everybody wants those priority baggage tags on their suitcases. Do they really matter?
Well, that's a good question.
They should. I mean, we were told that they go up first. They should be. That's about all I know from. Monique may know better from putting them on. But as far as like, we're told that whenever we return the bags, that they go up first.
Okay, I'm gonna hold you to that because sometimes, especially at LAX. All the bags come off randomly. There's no priority bags. I've had priority bags come off at the very end of the flight.
That's the word. Yeah, we're told. And sometimes if someone gets buried, one gets buried or something. But for the most part, that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what I try to do.
Okay. And are you guys going to this new system where you're not going to have a priority baggage tag anymore on the bag? Because we were told on our most recent flight back from Europe that it's going to, when your bag is scanned, you're going to automatically know it's a priority bag.
I don't know. I haven't heard that. I know that with ours, even if that priority thing falls off, it should still say priority on it.
Oh, okay.
But that's how we see it easy to set it aside to go back up.
Ah, cool.
But even without it, it should say priority.
Yeah, well,
that's been a lot of trust in your rampers, though, to read that.
I know. I basically say dorking the ramp is like a well-trained monkey could do our job. I mean, you just scan things and move things. It's not like it's...
But if you're scanning and you see priority, you're going to know.
It should ding on our system that
okay,
it is. But how many people, my coworkers, are paying attention to it when it's 110 outside and they're like, just get this bag off to get in the break room. So,
okay. Monique.
Oh, boy. That's so good.
What's the best way to suck up to a gate agent, to be friendly to a gate agent? And what do you hate in people who are trying to suck up to you?
I don't think I ever hate sucking up. Compliments are always great. No, I don't think there's any bad way to suck up to us.
Okay. And is there something that completely annoys you with passengers? Like if people keep coming up to you, ask you about seats and...
Do we have enough time for that?
Well, I just told Laura today, recently people have been reaching over our counter and like grabbing pens, like when they want to write on their like name tags, whatever, for their bags. And I can't handle that.
Really? Okay.
That's my space and you don't reach into my space. I think
that's good advice for anybody. Don't reach into my space.
Yeah. So they'll be like, do you have a pen to use? And I'll just be like, no. And they can see it and they still reach in. And I'm like, nope. So just don't reach into my space.
I think not just for non-revs, but probably is fill out, because we have to go up every so often, talk is if they're crazy, like you guys are, then don't go bug you.
Yeah, that's probably going to, like if you can see like things are hectic up there, just pop in quick and be like, if it's like a seat issue or something like that, you kind of want just going to be like, hey, we're trying to do this or whatever, especially if you're elite, we're going to try to do what we can for you guys. Just going to say, hey, this is our situation. We'll try to work out what we can for you guys. And then let it be. And a lot of times we'll print out your boarding cards so we know what seats we're working with, what we're going to try to do. And we'll do it in the meantime as we're working out everything else. But
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So if you're busy, just like hold back.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So read the room.
But they also want to do, they want to help you out.
So do come talk to us. Let us know that there is a concern or there is something you want us to do, because if we don't know, we're not going to be able to help you.
Gotcha. Okay.
But just kind of let us know what it is and then let us deal with it, with everything else.
Don't be a helicopter passenger.
Yeah. I've also had people sit and eat at my counter.
No, they do not.
Yeah. I've had someone like a full on burrito right at my desk and I'm like,
okay, well that's,
are you kidding me?
Were you hungry?
Are you going to share?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. That's weird. Lara, I'm sure you have nicknames for passengers, you know, whether passengers you like, passengers you don't like. Can you share some of those nicknames?
Those nicknames. Well, yeah, like the foot person that you're speaking about. We say the foot person, or we'll say Mowgli.
Mowgli, that's funny.
From Jungle Book.
Yeah. Barefoot, yeah, gotcha. Barefoot,
yeah. Gotcha. You know, Mowgli over there in row three. You know, they put their feet right on the bulkhead.
I know. It's like, would they do that at home? Of course not. Makes me crazy.
And in America West, it used to be carpeted. So they would be their foot on the carpet. It's just disgusting.
I take my shoes off at home, so I get that. That's
do you have more? That was good. I want to hear. Do you have more names?
Well, it's just ones you would think of, like Stinky and Vomit Boy. Vomit Boy. That's just...
Okay, I don't want to know how many times you've actually experienced that to give it a nickname. So that's...
Oh, yeah. You're right, though. We do nicknames.
Well, there was one on our flight today that you guys had already nicknamed. There was a gal, and she was in a yellow sweatsuit. And would you guys had called her Pikachu?
We were calling her Pikachu.
Because she had like a full like hoodie. Yellow hoodie and sweatpants.
Her whole outfit was bright yellow.
She wanted to get noticed, I guess.
Yeah. So the one gate or the one flight attendant at the back came up and showed her to us. We start calling her Pikachu.
Because we know you talk about us.
Yes.
We all know that. So is there an ideal passenger for you? What do you like to see in like your a good passenger? What would you consider a good passenger?
I have to tell you, we do love our EPs because you guys know what to do. You come on, you know where the closet is, you know where to put your stuff. We don't have to, you know, you won't put your bag in sideways so the bin won't close.
That's a pet peeve, yeah.
See? Yeah, you know what to do.
Just go like that.
Yeah, and sometimes when I feel snarky, I'll say to passengers when they're putting it, see the picture in the back? Okay, that's how we want your bag. See,
like, I love picture. That.
Her snarky is not snarky, though.
Yeah. Still nice.
but no, we do appreciate that. It's just, there's no conflict.
Right.
As you guys know.
We actually really do know. But now with loyalty points being the measure, a lot of people aren't flying to get the status. They're spending on their credit card. So you may not have as many experienced flyers as executive platinums. No, you're right.
And this is the first time I've heard of this loyalty points. So I'm still thinking it's mileage.
It's not mileage. So loyalty points are a function of how much money you spend on the airline. And so one last general question for you guys is, where is your ideal bucket list next trip?
Mine is, I want to go to the Red Rocks in Colorado and have a concert.
Absolutely.
That's on my last bucket list item was the Egypt trip that I just took.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good. That's Egypt a pretty
and Jordan.
Good one.
I did Jordan too.
Yeah, Jordan is on mine.
It's
definitely.
Amazing. Yeah.
And we'll talk more after this.
Yeah.
You want to go next?
So I think my bucket list is, you've talked about it, Steve, is the Maldives. My dad has talked about it forever. The pictures look amazing. We had Claudia on. She talked about going to some islands close to the Maldives before. It looks amazing. Like it, that the bungalows over the water, it's got to be.
Yeah. The show that Brittany was on, they talked about it.
Brittany, oh, yeah.
She spent like a week there, paid.
Did Brittany go to the Maldives?
Yeah.
Jeez. I need to be an international flight attendant.
Not a local
gate agent. In the desert. Yeah. They just, yeah, the beach, it sounds amazing. Well, not even this, the beach, but just blue clear water
sounds perfect.
I've always wanted to do, and we were talking about doing it this year, but because of the war stuff, but a World War II tour, but with Poland and all the refugees coming in, we didn't know if it would be a good tourist time. But I've always wanted to go back and do a tour and see all the different things that very interesting to me. The other one is Bend, Asia. I've never been to so much of the world I've never been to. The Australia, New Zealand, just so maybe this winter that's we have some time, vacation time, but we're looking at.
Yeah, that bucket list gets longer and longer, doesn't it? Yeah, my next, my bucket list thing that I want to check off, and we're going to do at Christmas time, is we're going to go to Norway and chase the Northern Lights, which I've never, I've always wanted to do. I did a TV show 15 years ago where the lead character's main goal was to see the Northern Lights, and it became my goal when it became her goal. So I'm finally going to get to do that. And we're going to go to a city in Norway called Tromsø. And the interesting thing about Tromsø is it's above the Arctic Circle. So when we go at Christmas time, it'll be December, mid-December, there it's experiencing something called polar nights. So it's not like Arctic sun. It's the opposite, where the sun never comes up. So it's dark or sunset, and the sun is below the horizon. So it literally never comes up.
So it's just dark all the time?
Pretty much dark or dusk the whole time. Isn't that wild?
How long will you spend there?
I think we're spending 3 days up in Tromsø. We're going to be a couple days in Oslo. We're going to be a couple days in Copenhagen. I haven't done that part of Scandinavia before, so it's a way for me to check off some countries that I've always wanted to see. And then we're going to end up in Malaga on the Costa del Sol in a cold time, but still it'll be a fun time.
Yeah. The Northern Lights will be cool.
Yeah, it will be really cool. It's something I've definitely wanted to do for the longest time. And you can actually hire a driver who will chase the Northern Lights around in case the weather is bad. Oh. So it'll take you to spots that because he lives up there or she lives up there. They know where the spots are that you can actually see the Northern Lights in the best way.
Cool.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And you can dog sled up there. It's like all sorts of crazy Northern Nordic kind of things.
One very Christmassy kind of feels like too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, I live in LA and you guys live in Phoenix. So, you know, Christmas is like shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah. But I have to ask you, do you count your flights? Do you know how many flights you've taken this year?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Okay, what? How many flights have you taken this year?
This year, I'm at 26. Yes, I need 30 segments in order to qualify for my Executive Platinum loyalty benefits, which include the systemoid upgrades and the lounge access. So, yeah, I have a spreadsheet. I calculate my loyalty points, and I calculate the number of flights I've got.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm also always online because there are so many blogs that are blogging about how to earn status. So anytime there's a deal, whether it's a shopping deal, because if you buy through an airline shopping portal, sometimes they'll give you bonus points. They'll give you 3,000 bonus points. You buy through you reserve a hotel through one of their travel portals, you'll get extra bonus points, extra loyalty points. So I'm always tracking it. So my husband is actually ahead of me now, so I've got to play catch up, which is why I'm going to Poland so that we're even.
Yeah,
because he got into the game after me, and there's no way I can let him be ahead of me in this game.
How many flights have you done lifetime?
I can't tell you how many flights I've done lifetime. I would say well over 2,000.
I would too.
Yeah, I flew. I worked for a company once where I was flying all over Europe. So I got to fly a lot of European airlines and experience the culture there. It was very fun. A lot of little short hops here and there.
Oh, that's great.
And the longest flight I've ever taken was, I think it was the LA Doha flight. That's 15 hours.
Wow.
And on the way back, it's 16 and a half. Nonstop. And there are three meal services on that
one. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
You're always eating and sleeping.
Yeah, eating, sleeping, watching
shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Catching up on whatever I don't watch at home. Yeah, we love it. One of the things I love about flying is that I can just decompress. Yeah. I can't really do anything. I don't usually get internet, and I don't want the airlines to ever allow calls on a flight because that's my time. You know, I get to do what I want to do. Watch a TV show, watch a movie, read a book, read a magazine, just sleep. I love the idea of just decompressing, and that's one of the last places that I actually can do it.
And that's perfect.
So, million miler?
4 million miler.
Four Ooh. Million miler. Holy Moses. Yeah.
That's how many miles I've flown on.
He was a little, when you said it, it was kind of like.
Well, I was like, I think really? I definitely think he's a million miler, but I just wanted to, 4 million. That's crazy.
It is pretty insane. Yeah. I did a lot of flying over the years.
Very cool.
And at one point, my company was had a contract with another airline. So I flew on that airline probably, I'm probably a million miler on that airline as well. So I've done a lot of flying in my years.
Very cool.
So I really enjoy following your social media. It seems like your Twitter is different when you do with Instagram, some of your travel stuff. You post stuff on aviation news that isn't, you just kind of find like, and I enjoy that. I don't know if you knew that, but I actually do. I'm always learning about stuff that's happening all over the world. So I appreciate that. So your Twitter is
MileageRunner, at MileageRunner.
No underscore. Just
no underscore.
Okay. Just, so we'll put that in the show notes.
Yes.
And then do you want to share your Instagram too, or is that more personal?
Sure. It's more about my travels and pictures of travel. So that's at MileageRunner Steve.
But you'll get to see him with elephants in Africa?
South Africa. Yeah.
So many cool pictures that.
Yeah. That was a really, really amazing trip. And I usually post after I've traveled.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I'm not one of those instant gratification guys, too. So,
but they're fun to see because make us jealous.
Yeah.
My job is done then.
Do you have any tips that would be good for non-revs? I know we travel a little bit different, but very similar, we said. So do you have anything that you would leave our listeners?
Yeah. So I always believe in getting one of those credit cards that earns credit card miles, whether it's a Chase card that earns Ultimate Rewards or American Express miles, American Express for American Express miles. The reason being is that you may get stranded somewhere and you may need those miles to book a hotel. You may need those miles to book a flight. And if you've got a flexible currency like one of those credit cards, you don't have to worry about, oh my God, it's going to cost me $300 to stay at this airport hotel this night. You can just use your credit card miles to do that. I always bring my passport, even on domestic flights, because you never know when you might be called away. And I always, I do check luggage. That's probably why I asked you that question. I always bring an extra pair of clean underwear and socks with me on the flight. 100% every time.
Especially nowadays with.
Yeah. With some crazy layovers. The longest layover I've had in Europe was 8 hours, but I got to spend it all in the first class lounge at British Airways. So it was awesome. Actually not so bad.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us and being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
I knew you would be great with
so many guests.
I know. There's so many places that we all want to go now. So
for sure.
So go follow Steve on Twitter and Instagram. And as I learned so much from the things you put out about just different aviation topics and news and this chef, so I appreciate that, and it's fun to see your travels, and we really appreciate you supporting our show, because it's kind of crazy that someone that doesn't have benefits like, but you still want, and means a lot to us, so thank you.
You guys are the most frustrating shows for non-rev guys, which I guess I'm a rev guy, but I love hearing your stories about your travels at work, your travails at work, and I love hearing about where you're going, so thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and
write us an email, nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 400,000 people from all airlines in the world and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/nonrevlounge.
I have extra bones in my mouth, so I mumble.
Is that a real thing?
That's a fact.
There are actors like you, and it drives me crazy because you can never understand what they're saying. We always have to re-record them. And they literally have like a high palate or something where they garble their words.